Friends, good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the presence of God and offer our praise and thanksgiving. As we come this morning, I would draw your attention to the announcements as they are printed in the bulletin. Lots of things are going on, so please make note of those events that are listed and are of most interest and may be of interest to you both here within our own congregation and in the broader community of Cornwall. Last weekend we made note of the fact that we didn't quite make our giving goal for the first quarter of this year, so if you can help us in any way to kind of make up that shortfall as we keep moving into the future, we would be grateful for your assistance. And elders are reminded that there is a special session meeting coming up this week, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., and we encourage all elders to attend. And finally, there's a note in the bulletin regarding the luncheon for the funeral for Fred Rennie, and if you can assist with that, there are sign-up sheets outside the kitchen in the lower hall, or you can contact Phyllis or Betty McConnell, and their contact information is there in the bulletin. We're also recruiting folks, former choir members or potential choir members, anyone who would like to help with the leading of the singing of the hymns during Fred's funeral on the first. If you'd like to sit in the choir, let me know. We are going to gown, so let me know today, and we'll try to get you a gown that fits you, and then we can have them all freshened up before the funeral on next weekend.
Good morning. I don't think the Dan and Roy knew that I was coming up here, so I'm here now. Good morning. So, as you can see, I have my beautiful hat on this morning. We are going to have a hat day in the service on May the 7th to celebrate the coronation of King Charles and just to have some plain old fun. So, ladies, if you have a fascinator or a chapeau at home, please feel free to wear it. Gentlemen, you can wear a hat too if you like. It probably won't be as fancy as ours, though. So, in order to prepare for the event, if you don't have a hat or if you want to just come out and have some fun, we are holding a Make a Hat Fascinator Top Hat workshop. So mark this in your calendars on May the 4th at 1:30 in the afternoon. So if you have an old hat or straw hat or any headpiece, even like one of those headband things, bring it along. And also, if you have something that you would like to make a part of your hat with, for example, flowers, or maybe even a Union Jack, feathers, or beads. And if you don't have anything to bring, just bring yourself, because we're going to have materials here for you in order to make your hat. And then join us. And if you have any friends that you'd like to bring along, they are more than welcome. And of course, we'll have some hospitality as we make our hats, drinks and snacks to share. So that's on May the 4th at 1:30. Thank you.
Hats aren't such a big deal for men because, of course, we take them off when we come indoors. So as we gather in worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we as his followers seek to walk in his paths. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and offer our praise this morning. Great is God, and greatly to be praised.
God's greatness is unsearchable.
God's awesome deeds shall be proclaimed forever.
We shall celebrate God's abundant goodness and sing aloud of God's righteousness.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Living Lord, you meet us in unexpected places and surprise us with the abundance of your love. Feed us by your word and fill us with your spirit so that we may follow you this day and always. We pray through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. And as we come this day in worship, we begin with hymns of praise as we sing 249, The Day of Resurrection. The words will appear before you on the screen. Because we do not always live our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel call, we confess before God and one another our shortcomings and offenses. In repentance, let us turn toward God's grace and mercy as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screens. Loving God, you know our weakness. Fearful of the future, we forget what you have done for us in the past. We see scarcity where you see abundance. We complain when conditions challenge us. We begrudge others their success, allow envy to divide us, and live lives that are unworthy of the gospel. Generous God, forgive us. Help us to remember your wonderful works, trust your gracious provisions, seek out your presence, and strive side by side with others to serve you well. Amen. Friends, God extends to us mercy beyond our desiring, grace beyond our ability to earn it. God has granted us the privilege of believing in Christ. Therefore, we will live as grateful and forgiven people. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, let us join our voices together as we sing hymn 410. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. Hymn 410, or the words on the screen.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you.
As we come this morning in worship and think about the reading that you'll hear in just a little while, I was thinking this week about where do we go when you have things that trouble you? Because we all have something we do or someplace we go when things are troubling us, right? For young children, it maybe to their mother's lap. Somewhere in boxes around our house, there is a stuffy named Sparky, who was our son's go-to comfort toy. There's others for all the other children, too, and kids' blankets, because blankies are really, really good when you're upset. For some of us who are older, it may be maybe music or a walk in the garden or something like that. I know in a particularly dark time in my life, there happened to end up being two songs that kind of became my anthems for the week or for that period. One was "The Days in Between" by, oh dear, Canadian group, Jim Cuddy. Blue Rodeo, yes, thank you, yeah. Shout it out. Clearly I need to get that tape out of my, it's in tape form to tell you how old the song it is. It and a song by R.E.M., Stupidly Happy, I think it was Stupidly Happy, something like that. Those were kind of my things. But there are always, for all of us, there are our comfort places, our comfort thoughts. And of course, for people of faith, our experience of the risen Jesus and going to God in prayer in times of trouble can be a great source of comfort and relief for us. As we listen to the gospel lesson that we're going to read this morning, we're going to hear about the disciples and where they thought they might be able to go to find comfort. So listen for that as we are reading our gospel lesson this morning. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the gift of your presence in the living word, Jesus Christ. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal life and abundant hope through Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. First reading is from the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, verses 14a and 36 to 41. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added.
The next responsive reading is from Old Testament, Psalm 145, chapter 1 to 9. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall extol your works to another,
and shall declare your mighty acts.
They will recount the glorious splendors of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate.
They will proclaim the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud your righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made.
And the next reading is from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Think of us in this way, as servants of Christ and stewards of God's mysteries. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive commendation from God. I've applied all this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through us what not beyond what is written means, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive? The upcoming hymn is This Joyful Easter Tide, number 259 in the Book of Praise.
Thank you.
and continuing to read from God's Word. This is given to us in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. Let us listen for God's Word to His people. Again, after these things, Jesus showed Himself to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And He showed Himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, who is called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of Jesus' disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." Then he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he had been raised from the dead. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. It's one of those days, you know, new tongue and rented lips. I've stumbled over every prayer and every hymn so far, so I don't hold out a whole lot of hope for the sermon this morning, so bear with me. Our sermon is entitled, "What's the Catch?" It's now 3 weeks. This morning we celebrate the third week in the season of Easter. For some of us, probably most of us, I assume, Easter seems so far away now. The chocolate's all gone. But so is the long weekend and the family gatherings and this great celebration that we had in worship, and yes, the chocolate. Most of us have kind of returned to the regular patterns of life. Work, family obligations, evening meetings. All that is special, all that is unique about Easter seems to be behind us. And we have returned to the mundane. But we are reminded in this morning's text, in this reading from John's Gospel, that it's not just us who have returned to the mundane. As we turn to Scripture this morning, Jesus' disciples have also returned to the mundane activities of life. Now, the Gospel writer does not give us a time frame, but we do not know if, like us, it's been 2 weeks since Mary Magdalene first shared the news that the tomb was empty and the evening in which Jesus appeared to his disciples, or if it's been a month or maybe even longer. What we do know is that sufficient time has passed for the disciples who were locked up in that upper room because they were afraid to pluck up enough courage and leave the upper room. And sufficient time has passed for the disciples to have given up. The disciples that we read about this morning are not out in the streets of Jerusalem proclaiming the good news that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and that we need not fear death anymore. No. Instead, they're out on the Sea of Galilee, casting nets like they did before they had ever met this man called Jesus. They returned to their old homes and their old ways of life. Now that Jesus is gone, despite the two post-resurrection appearances that they had witnessed, the disciples seem to have tried their best to get back to normal. Back to home. Back to work. And so the fishermen are fishing once more. And yet, nothing quite seems to be going the way it's supposed to. The gospel writer tells us that the disciples have spent all night in their boat on the water casting their nets, and they have caught nothing. Cast after cast, heaving and hauling and heaving and hauling, and their nets were empty. As empty as the old lives that they attempted to reclaim seemed to be. They had come home to seek the comfort of routine. They tried to go back to the way of life that they knew before Jesus had called them each to come and see, to dare, to glimpse just a flicker of the kingdom of God. And now, now nothing else seems to make sense to them. Their old lives are every bit as empty as the nets that they were casting all night long. That's the catch, that they cannot return to their old life. And yet, as they, tired from a whole night of fishing, from the strain, they pull once more on ropes, this time to set their sail so that they can return to the shore. And as they draw near to the water's edge, in the half light of the dawning day, they see a man squatting next to a charcoal fire. Perhaps the smell of the cooking fish reaches their noses. They're only 100 feet from shore. And he says to them, "Children, have you any fish?" And the disciples reply, "No. Nothing. Their nets are empty." And then this man says, "Well, try the other side of the boat." What a strange thing to say. After a whole night on the sea, fishing, casting, and hauling, does the man really think they didn't try both sides of the boat? It's a cruel question that he asks. After all of that labor, have you any fish? But somehow the disciples are convinced. And they cast one more time, this time on the right side of the boat. And this time, the net comes back full, straining, we are told, 153 big fish. and to settle the dispute that we were having a Bible study on Wednesday night, whether they're sardines or mac or tuna. Well, they're neither of those, because tuna are really big. Sardines are really small. But they are St. Peter's fish, which are a good-sized fish. St. Peter's fish, also known to us and Highliner as tilapia. Okay, that's the sort of fish we're talking about. So they're hauling in these fish, and the net is full. And it is in that moment that the beloved disciple, ever the perceptive one of the disciples, recognizes what is going on. It's the beloved disciple who recognizes and declares, "It's Jesus." And ever the impulsive one, Peter, we're told, leaps up, puts on some clothing, leaps into the water, and rushes to the shore. The others follow with the fish. And Jesus has fish there for them, fish and bread, fresh on the fire. And he invites them to bring some of the fish that they have caught to add to the feast. That's the catch. And when they trusted in him and listened, they were part of this great feast of the kingdom of God. It almost sounds like communion, the feast that we have here, except there's no bread, there's no wine, pardon me, and there's fish. And yet often in Scripture, the portrayal of the feast of the kingdom of God, that kingdom that Jesus has dared to give the disciples just a glimpse of, that feast is a feast of fish and bread and wine. You cannot go back to your empty life. That's the catch. As Jesus had invited the disciples to come and follow him for those 3 years of his public ministry to witness the greatness of God's love and compassion into the world, to witness a new way of being a neighbor and a friend to those around you. A new way to understand faith. The disciples were changed. And changed in such a way that they could not go back. But the great abundance awaited them if they would continue to listen to Jesus' word. Cast on the right side of the boat. One's never quite sure when you get into, it's that vagary of language, isn't it? Is Jesus telling them to cast on the, not the left side of the boat, but the right side? Those of us who are left-handed, by the way, have real problems with Scripture because most stuff happens on the right, not the left. It's true. Is that the right that Jesus speaks of? Or is it that understanding that we have of correct and incorrect, cast on the right side of the boat, the side that Jesus has led us to? Whichever it is, the reality for the disciples is they are coming to new understandings of what it means to be people of faith, and they have been changed by Jesus Christ, and they will never be the same. And that's the catch. You can't go back. Jesus changes everything. This year, over the past several weeks, and as we move forward, we've been following the the World Council of Churches Ecumenical Prayer Cycle, which means we pray for churches in various areas of the world each week. We're in Eastern Europe these days, it seems, right? Last week was Albania, Romania. The week before that was Ukraine and Russia. This week we're in Armenia and Azerbaijan. We're kind of in that area of the world. But as we pray for the church around the world, the church around the world teaches us what it means to be the church. Through their faithful witness, churches that have lived through oppression and genocide, churches that have been marginalized by political power, churches that are working out what it means to be Christian, to be a Christian church working toward reconciliation with the world. And talking about reconciliation with the world, that's easy. But when the world is your neighbor who has done you wrong, that's hard. But Jesus changes everything. So as we come here this day and we gather in Christ's house to hear his word, let us remember that just like the disciples, Christ calls us to be followers and to acknowledge the fact that there is a new and a different world that awaits us all, and that we will all be changed if we take that invitation seriously. And that regardless of the challenges we face, that we have a strength and a hope in Christ that will lead us into the future. And that sometimes it's not up to us. It's not up to how much or how hard we work. But that what we receive is always offered freely by Jesus. Cast your net on the right side of the boat and believe. That's the catch. Thanks be to God. Amen. In the spirit of the first believers, with glad and generous hearts, let us share our goods in common and contribute to the needs of the poor as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your grace, accept the fruit of our labor and the offering of our lives. Let us be the sacrifice of thanksgiving in union with our risen Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Unrelenting God, we give you thanks that wherever we may wander from your love, you search us out and offer to us heavenly sustenance to sustain our souls and strengthen our faith. We thank you that you are with us in the mundane tasks of life. While we are busy with our daily routines, you are never far from us. We thank you for your abiding presence that sees us through the challenges of life, speaking our names and assuring us that you are near. How good it is to trust in a loving God. As we give you thanks for your presence in our lives, we lift up the needs of our world, trusting that you will hear our prayers and respond in mercy. We pray for the country and people of Sudan living under the cloud of war. Watch over your people and sow seeds of peace in the hearts of the various factions that vie for control. Jesus came to be the Prince of Peace. We pray for peace among the nations, for reconciliation between individuals who are locked in conflict, for peace in our homes, and peace in the minds of all of those who are troubled. This morning we pray for our sister congregation, St. Paul's Presbyterian Church in Kemptville, and for their minister, the Reverend Samer Candelaff. Breathe your spirit into their ministry and inspire them to proclaim your gospel with boldness. Today we pray for your churches around the world, and especially the churches of Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia. We thank you for the long heritage of Christianity in these countries, despite trying and difficult times. We pray for healing and restoration for the Armenian Church, which has suffered the effects of genocide, and for all those who have attempted to cling to you during times of oppression. May your church live out its prophetic witness to bring together all peoples and cultures under your kingdom goal. We pray for all those who are known to us, who this day suffer from illness or worry, and all those who are convalescing. Strengthen them in body, mind, and spirit to face the challenges set before them and to assure them of your presence in the midst of difficult times. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who calls us still to work for your kingdom, ever praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is hymn number 643, Lift High the Cross. Number 643, or as the words appear before you on the screen. Now let us go in the joy of resurrection. Purify your souls. Be obedient to the truth. Be genuine in love through the living and enduring Word of God. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the love of God who raised him, and the power of the Holy Spirit who fills this world with new life through him, bless you and keep you this day and forevermore. Amen.